Hi everybody, thanks very much indeed for showing up again for this episode 4 in what I'm loosely calling series 2 of The Wrap, the What's Racing About podcast. Thanks to bots, followers, waifs and strays, people that have found this cast by accident. You're all welcome and it's good of you to invest your time in the cast and in me. Going to talk to you about punting today. And why not? It's the reason why I would say the majority of us come racing. There are worthy reasons why we don't go, why we don't punt. There's a guy on social media, on X in particular, Mike Parsedge. Really nice guy. I've met him a few times on course. And if you're in any way interested in racing, you will come across Mike either in person on course or certainly on social media. The guy is a racing junkie. He goes around the country. He goes around Ireland. He's even been out to France, visited every race course numerous times. Never has a bet. Never has a bet. Just goes purely to watch the horses, invest himself in the racing firmament. And he gets a lot from that. And who's to say he's going about it the wrong way? You know, it's a free world and he gets his jollies from doing it the way that he does. And all power to Mike and all power to people like him, people that go for other reasons, people that go to dress up, people that go for a day out. A couple of casts ago, I touched on the invades phenomenon wherein, you know, discussed mostly young people going racing and just having a drink and a laugh and as a part adjunct to a party, and that's valid. I don't think it's the way that I would ever want to go. I would always want to get involved in the actual racing side, but if it's a background, if racing is a background to a party, well, go for it. You get out of racing whichever way you want to go, but for the majority of us, it's about punting. When I was doing the podcast, the Rapcast on Le Mans for a year, last year, every day I put out one of these little casts, much shorter than these ones, but they were little zingers, sometimes just 2 and 3 minutes. Several times I would come back to punting, and in particular punting psychology. The psychology of betting, of having a bet, And in particular, how we deal with losing, and in some cases, winning streaks as a punter. And this absolutely fascinates me, and I make no apologies for coming back to it again now in the podcast proper, as I'm calling these episodes that I'm sticking out on big boys and girls platforms. So punting psychology, because I think, you know, the reason why I want to discuss this and reheat this in a bit more depth on this platform and in this cast is because A, it fascinates me, and B, it's a very lonely, and that sounds a bit sad, and I'll probably got the wrong word there, but solitary, there we go, very solitary world of the punter. Now, on one sense, it's not. In one sense, you know, you go and you discuss your bets and you cogitate over your bets and you listen to tipsters and you go into a betting shop and discuss bets that you're having and you're on course and the first thing out of your mouth, if you're any kind of a sociable animal, is what do you fancy in the next race? So in that terms, or in those terms, racing is and punting is a sociable event for you to get involved in. However, it is a solitary event in terms of the amount of work that one puts into a punt, or that the serious punter puts into a punt. And I'm kind of assuming that you are I'm assuming you're interested in race going, otherwise why are you listening to this cast? And I'm assuming that you're vaguely serious about your punting. My bad if you're not, if this is just something which is a bit of a sort of adjunct to everyday life on course, and punting is kind of neither something you do, but neither sort of here nor there. But if you are a serious punter, you will be fairly sort of assiduous. You will think through your bets and you will place your bets and you will have winning and losing runs. And I'm guessing that the vast majority of us are fine about that. We understand, and I'm not talking about people that are problem gamblers. people that chase their losses, and people that keep on punting for that dopamine hit. That's a whole other thing, a whole other world. I'm talking about people that have a well thought out bet, that can manage their banks, that are not getting into financial trouble and not putting theirs and their families or future at risk, but who, and let's talk about the losing run, because that is something that affects us all more than we care to admit. And that's something which I'm going to touch on in a sec. Let's look at the losing run and the psychology of the losing run, and how do we deal with that? There are more losers than winners in this game. There are more losers than anyone cares to admit in this game. Why? It's obvious. You know, bookmakers would not exist if it wasn't for losing punters. Fact. I would also say it's a fact that most people will not admit to losing. There are three things that blokes, and I'm talking about blokes in particular here because I'm a bloke. Three things that blokes can do brilliantly. One, drive. Two, punt. Three, I'll leave that for you to work out. You know, we are brilliant at all three of those, and to admit that we cannot do one of those, or we're having a bad time in one of those three areas, it's, well, we'd rather sell our firstborn into slavery. You know, that is the fact of the matter. So, actually admitting that we are in a losing run is difficult for the majority of us. And then what do we do with that? We can go and read, or we can understand variance. And yeah, I don't propose to go into that in any great depth here. It's basically, if you will lose, you will win. And as long as the line is, as long as it's fairly sort of linear upwards, that you will keep on winning, then that's good over time. But within that winning streak over several years, punting returns in the profit column over time, there will be huge sort of levels of variance around the general sort of upward trend on winning if you're a good and assiduous punter. And the downs can be trying, and this is what I'm sort of fixating on in this particular cast. How do we deal with that? As I say, you know, we can understand the mathematics of our punting, and we can stick with a winning formula. And that is probably the best way to go. You know, things that have been successful for us in the past. And now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of what makes you a punter, or what do you go to, which tools in your toolkit do you go to first when you assess a race? Are you a stats-driven person? Yes, in my case, hands up to that one. Are you a form-driven person? Do you look at pounds per length, etc., etc.? Do you look back at races and rely on your experience and your eye for what is going on in the nitty-gritty of a race to look at horses that have run better than their finishing positions suggest when you look back on the videos of a race? Are you into breeding? Are you into horse breeding? Do you understand the subtleties of breeding to you know, assess a horse's suitability and viability for a particular race based on the race distance, going, class, etc.? Are you a paddock watcher? You know, so where are your strengths? And do you, if you're in this losing run, begin to question your ability in those areas? Or do you look at different resources in those areas? Confession time. This is not going to come up with any answer. This is not going to come up with the golden bullet, which goes, do this, and then you will, everything will be right. The magic bullet is this. That's not what this is about. It's an appeal, if you like. It's an appeal to my listeners, to get back to me and talk to me about what you do and the way that you work and the way that you deal with these sort of issues. Because, as I say, out of all of the many and multi facets in racing, this one is pretty much the top when it comes to what fascinates me and what attracts me about racing, and what attracts me to other punters as well. When you do get people that are good enough to give you their time and talk about their methodology and the way that they go about punting and the way that they deal with these sort of losing runs, that fascinates the hell out of me. You know, I've likened it in the past, you know, if you're a golfer and you've got the yips, or the golf swing is all over the place, back in the day, you used to be able to go to somebody like David Ledbetter, Nick Faldo, great golfer in the past. Ledbetter was his coach, and he would sort of go out and have intensive lessons with David Ledbetter. In our own little world, if you're a horse and you can't jump or you're having trouble with your jumping, you might bring in an expert like Yogi Breisner, who I interviewed. Go back to one of the early episodes of the Rapcast back in 2020, 21, something like that. And I'd had a fascinating couple of hours with Yogi Breisner, the jumping guru. If you're a trainer, you need your horse to jump better, you can go to a guru like Yogi Breisner. There's plenty of resources that you and people that you can go to if you're having trouble in a particular area of your sport. Not just sport, we have life coaches, psychologists, psychotherapists, etc., you know, that can help us in every aspect of our lives, apart from punting. Where do we go if we are having a bad time punting? And I've got to stress again, I'm not talking about if we're getting into penury and debt. That's a whole other thing. But something that we enjoy, something that we like doing, and suddenly it's gone askance, it's gone askew, and we are not getting the wins and the profits that we have done in the past, and therefore we are not getting the enjoyment from our punting that we should be getting. As I said, the answer is fucked if I know, basically, you know. So run at me with any answers that you've got. Handbrake turn into this particular one. There was a Canadian band, and their name was Woods of Ypres. Ypres is the Belgian town famous in the First World War, spelled Y-P-R-E-S, Wipers as people call it then. Woods of Ypres. You won't have heard of them. Nobody has. They're a doom metal band. That's a very small sectionalist interest. It's for the purists, the music snobs. Put my hand up to that one. That is me. Woods of Ypres have a song called Suicide Cargo Load. Don't worry, I'm not going to drag you into black areas like suicide and so on. It's called Suicide Cargo Load. Open brackets, drag that weight, close brackets. The lyrics. Drag that fucking weight, man. Drag that weight and breathe. Pull that fucking anchor across the rocks. Push that mountain into the sea. Drag that weight over foreign landscapes. Drag that weight. That works for me. Sometimes it's about resilience. Sometimes it's about sticking in the game. Sometimes it's about just having a bit of straight up pride and just sticking with what has worked and working harder, keeping the faith and just dragging that weight, man. You know, it works for me. I'm probably way too serious, and I'll put my hand up to that one as well. This is a bit of a sort of therapy session for yours truly, sort of making all these confessions. But all of that is good stuff for me. And, you know, dragging that weight and just sticking in the game. Well, you know, sometimes that's what you've got to do. Sometimes that's what works. Not just punting your way out of trouble, smashing you out of trouble, keep it on. Sometimes you need to be a bit more nuanced and a bit more savvy. You need to take a break and come away from racing altogether. And I've touched on this in the past. And it works for me to go running down the gym. Exercise is great therapy. Go listen to music. Go do some whole other things. Spend time with your family. Have 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks off, whatever, you know, and come back to your punting, your analysis refreshed at some point further down the line. But ultimately, because we're punters and because we love this game and because it's a puzzle and because our manhood and our ego is bound up with being a good punter, we will come back to this. We will drag that weight. We will be a resilient and make sure that next time we punt, it's going to be better than it's ever been before. And we are going to be more clued up, more savvy, and we are going to be more straight-edged and flinty-eyed about our punting than we've ever been in the past. I think at least that's for me. That's the way it works for me. As I said in the middle, as I said sort of a couple of minutes ago, what about you? I am fascinated by what works for you in this particular area. Get back to me on this cast, underneath any sort of platform this is going out on. Get back to me on X, on Twitter, What's Racing About Podcast, RAP, WRAP. My handle is at RacingWhat, R-A-C-I-N-G, capital W-H-A-T, RacingWhat. My name's Peter Bell. If you want to get back to me on Facebook, if you want to become a Facebook friend, just reach out to me on that and I'll say yes. Just get back to me via whatever medium because yeah, I'm interested. I want to know what makes you tick as a punter. One thing that makes me tick is a horse that is of interest, of something that I can put into my tracker and go, I want to see where you are going. And quick sort of handbrake turn into this one, Le Beau Madrick of the Skeltons. Had a couple of wins at Newcastle this season and has put up incredibly quick speed figures in doing so. Only raced four times under rules and it's won its last two races. It could be Cheltenham bound. It's 80-1 for the Supreme Novices hurdle, 50-1 for the longer novices race, the Turners. I am really, really interested to see where this one goes. If it goes to Cheltenham, it probably will be carrying my money. Maybe not a huge bet, maybe an each way bet. I think it's got class. And I think it's got form. It's with the right trainer, the horrible Skeltons. But I think Le Beau Madrick could be a horse that's worth sticking into your tracker because it's young, unexposed, going places. And I think it's got a lot of class about it. And I think over staying mid to longer distances, this animal is going to come into its own. So there we go. That's just something that I've spotted from my speed figures. That's what they work for me. My speed figure analyses has hopefully sort of thrown up that one as a potential future winner. And one to leave you with on a good note after the somewhat, what should we say, intense nature of this particular cast. So, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for showing up for this cast. I hope it's been interesting. I hope it's made you have a little bit of a think about punting and your punting in particular. And I'll catch up with you next time. But for the meantime, that's a wrap.